prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Adisk, and this is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Our guest today is Roger Sales. We're going to have another afternoon with Roger, the author of From Sovereign to Serfs, and we will start talking to Roger in a couple of moments, but first, here's our market report, and I'm reading from the Kitco website, and they present the information on gold, silver, platinum, palladium, rhodium, a number of the equities, the equitable markets, and so on, U.S. dollar index, crude oil. I'm reading from that. But they have a little section at the top, near the top of the page. And every day it says whatever the price up or down is for gold. And it says, did gold really go up? And today it says, did gold really go up $20.10? And other days it says, did gold really go down $4.18 or $135? And they change it. They're constantly upgrading. And they are measuring whether the price of gold went up or down in terms of inflated dollars. All right, how much of it went up? Well, that's at least part of it. But in any case, my point is I was expecting to start this up today and find, did gold really go down another $75? And it says, did gold really go up $20.10? And I'm looking at it and say, yay, gold really did go up $20.10, at least as of the last report. So gold's up $20.10. The asking price for gold is $1,373.70 per ounce. Silver's up 73 cents to $23.52 an ounce. Platinum's up $48 to $1,455 per ounce. And palladium is up $25 to $682 an ounce. We've got a long ways to go to recover what's been lost, but just having a day, all right, where gold is not falling all by itself, hey, maybe we've seen the bottom. If we have, of course, this is a great buying opportunity. And even if we haven't seen the bottom yet, this is so close to a great buying opportunity, you ought to think about it. Give Melody a call. Melody a call at 1-800-375-4188. We have Dow Jones is up 150 points to 14,749. NASDAQ is up 47 points to 3,263. New York Stock Exchange is up 120 points to 9,074. U.S. dollar is down 0.53 to 81.79 on the U.S. dollar index, and crude oil is up 2 cents per barrel to $88.73 per barrel. You know, gold has taken a shellacking in the last couple of days, no question about it, but hey, crude oil hasn't hasn't done particularly well either. How long do you suppose that can be sustained? How long before we begin to see the bull market resume for gold and perhaps for crude oil? Roger Sales, how you doing?
I'm good, Al. How are you today, my friend?
Just fine. Sounds like you're in a little bit of an echo chamber.
Well, I've done something a little different today. I had to do it out of necessity last week on the other show that I do, and that was to pull out the little tablet and try the tablet on this, and it worked so well. And I had to leave the house today because of internet problems and come to the main Wi-Fi spot. So I thought I'd just use the little tablet today and we'd give it a try. So if there's any difference in the quality of the sound, sorry, but that's what it is.
At least you're not speaking in Spanish. That would make a serious, that would impede communication on this program, although it might open it up to a larger audience. Maybe we could attract our Hispanic listeners if one of us spoke Spanish and we get somebody else to speak Russian. We get three of us talking in three different languages. Make it like the United Nations. What do you think?
I'm afraid if they were going to try and listen to my Spanish, we'd drive the audience off.
All right. Well, then we'll try to proceed in English.
Roger, that'd be a good idea.
Roger, for those of you who don't know, Roger is calling in from Argentina. And we get a perspective from Roger on a regular basis every Tuesday. Gives us a little indication of what's happening in Argentina, if anything significant's going on. Is there any significant news from Argentina that might be instructive for people up here, Roger?
Not a thing. You know, it's so quiet and peaceful down here that these people don't even have any idea what's going on in the world like we do. It's an absolutely picturesque, perfect day. Not a cloud in the sky, Carolina blue, upper 70s, perfect day. So it's one of those great fall days because we're in the fall here now. And but I'm certainly more concerned about the U.S. than I am about Argentina, I'm going to tell you right out front.
And what's cause for your concern?
Well, a number of things. I would say if there was two words that I feel like it's on, okay?
Yeah.
Whatever it is that they've been waiting for, it seems like the concerted push, whether this is a ramp up to whatever the event is or the start of the event, you know, what's the, whether this is the beginning of the end or the end of the beginning, we don't know, right?
You know, I've talked about this a little on the radio in the last couple of days, but, and I think I've mentioned it prior, I know I have, over the last 2 months or so, you could kind of feel, without evidence, but nevertheless, you could kind of feel that things were moving faster, 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 and we were coming up for a big event. And I'm not convinced that the fall in the price of gold was the big event. I think that may be preliminary to the big event. I have no evidence to support that other than a certain amount of gut that tells something big's coming. What do you think? Something big coming, or have we seen it?
No, I think that after you study these guys for so many years and you study them the way that we have, Al, and I know I speak for you too, to a large extent, you do get a sixth sense. You get an anticipatory stance on them because in a sense, they're very predictable. And, I, like you, in fact, I think we mentioned a couple of months ago, I said, you know, email traffic has really, really dropped dramatically. And it just seems like there's something in the air, you know, like the old Tom Petty and the Heartbreaker song, there's something in the air. And I think that, you know, as we closed out last week, I think the comment I made was there's no telling what's going to be happening next Tuesday. Well, here we are next Tuesday.
Yeah, I know.
Who would have dreamed that they would kick gold down, what, $150, $200?
It's over $200, I believe, right now, even after today's $20 comeback. Yeah, it was pretty shocking.
And, you know, we know about these guys from all of our study and their history that they never do anything that only accomplishes one objective. They always have multiple objective exercises. So was this to try and shake the weak hands out of the gold? Was it to try and knock the price down to cover all their naked shorts they've got out there? Was it to try and knock gold out and then come back and buy it up, which is evidently what's happening? It looks to me like supplies are almost totally drained. I see two major suppliers in the U.S. are not taking orders for Silver Eagles. And
what does that mean?
Well, it means that I think everybody doesn't know what's going on with all this uncertainty. Nobody wants to make a decision. It's probably best just to do nothing.
I think what it means is we're seeing a divergence in the price of paper gold, which is what really collapsed by over $200 in the last couple of days, and the price of physical gold. And what we're seeing, they've pushed the price of paper gold down, all right, to $1,300 and change. And people who have physical gold are just sitting back and saying, that's not, my gold is worth more than that. I'm not selling my physical gold for a paper gold price. And therefore, the supply is drying up, and people are just refusing to say, that price is crazy. I'm not going to sell my gold at that price. Some people are. Some people have to. But a lot of people are just saying, I'm not going to sell my gold until the price comes back up to a price that's compatible with physical gold rather than paper gold. I don't know if you catch what I'm trying to explain here, divergence from paper to gold, physical. But
you know the way they started that thing Friday by dumping
500 tons, is what I heard.
400 to 500 tons of paper gold on the market,
yeah.
And they preceded it. The condition precedent was that they put out the word through the Treasury to all the hedge funds and all of the different dealers to tell their people to sell because there was a concerted sell order coming.
I understand.
And evidently, if you put information out there that's coming that you're privy to, and it works on the side of the Treasury Department, which is initiating it, there's no insider trading clauses that apply. Did you read that?
No. Explain that again to me.
If you announce
it in advance, there's no insider trading liabilities?
Not if it's the same way. In other words, if you're not giving out fake information to take advantage of the opposite side, if you're giving out information and it's going to go on the same side, then it's not against the law.
Now, I hadn't heard that ever before.
I read it in one of these articles the other day.
Was the article on the Internet?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. No.
It must be true. If it's on the Internet, it must be true.
I don't remember where it was from because I read so much over the last few days about it, but it was a fairly credible source, as I remember. The other two things that were very interesting on Friday, one came from Silver Doctors, came through one of their regular, I guess like a correspondent guy that's over in Thailand. I sent this out in an email. I'm sure I copied you on it, that he was over there, and he said, you cannot buy an ounce of bullion gold in the entire city of Bangkok.
You can go buy jewelry,
but there is no bullion gold, and at every gold outlet, there's a line waiting outside. So
now,
that was one report.
All of this tells us what about the decline in the price of gold?
Sure. Well, I'm going to reinforce your statement of a few minutes ago. The other story was that the dealers that reported on Friday reported buyers to sellers at 50 to 1. So
yeah.
Even as they kicked that price down $150 that day or whatever that gigantic drop was, you still had buyers to sellers at 50 to 1 ratio. And I think that illustrates exactly what your point was.
That's exactly right. We got 50 people out of every 51. They're saying this is one heck of a bargain. And give me, count me in. And we got one person out of 51 who's willing to sell. I said, the other people, in theory, you would have 50 people buying and 50 people selling, just in theory. But in this instance, you got 50 people saying, I'll take all I can get. They're back in the pickup up to the loading dock, and you got one guy out of 51 is, all right, I'll sell some gold at this price. So it's a good indication that we're seeing a divergence. And I've talked about it with Melody yesterday and just saying I think this is a good thing, maybe a great thing. You know, one of the difficult, one of the big obstacles to knowing what the real value of gold is that gold is traded on the COMEX, where there are reportedly 99 ounces of paper gold moving for every 1 ounce of physical gold that's moving. It means that COMEX is measuring, constantly measuring the price of paper gold, and they can use the paper certificates to manipulate the price, and we don't have a market for gold, just gold, no paper. You want to sell gold, you sell gold. No paper certificates, just sell gold. You want to buy gold, you buy gold. No certificates, just gold. If we had that market that was pure for physical gold, then we would know what a true price of physical gold is right now, but we don't.
All these futures markets were put in here to do this kind of stuff exactly that's going on right now, and it has been going on. It was real interesting how I heard another speculative position having to deal with COMEX and these paper contracts versus the physical. And that is, when people go to redeem, generally they roll those contracts over when they come to the end of the term. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have the option of taking delivery on that product.
I understand that.
And of course, that's their big fear is that obviously they don't have the physical to back up all this paper that's floating out there. So as the price gets driven down now, and they can turn around and pay off all of their contracts in paper and blame it on the price of gold and silver going down as an act of God. How about that?
Well, I understand it's hard to say what they're really trying to do here. No one really knows. But what we do know is that this was an orchestrated attack on the price of gold. This is not the marketplace that's just decided people in the market, the average investors, and they've moved in a particular direction because they think something's going on. This is other people who've said, we're going to move the market. We're not investing 500 tons of paper gold because we think there's money to be made or lost here. We're moving 500 tons because we are going to move the market in a way that is profitable to us. It means we're dealing with a criminal conspiracy. That's at least the way I look at it. And this is just, it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong, but here we are. And in the end, it's created a great buying opportunity, so...
It's incredible. I'll tell you what, it's woken a lot of people up, too, additionally to the ones that were woken up. And I think if, you know, a lot of us speculate as to how much of a percentage of the populace is awake now. And I think it's starting to grow exponentially on them, by the way. And the fact is that one story and that one report that there was 50-1 buyers to sellers in light of all the media coverage and everything else kind of tells you that there's a fairly large segment of the population that are awake as to what's going on.
I understand. And what impresses me, what interests me, is they've done something that's so blatant and so obvious that they can't deny that this has been manufactured and orchestrated. And when they remove the veil and they just essentially smash a window and steal what's in the display case out of the window on the jewelry store, to me, it's indication that these people are becoming desperate rather than powerful. They're at the point, I don't know, where they are willing to do almost anything. Now, that implies that there is a gun to their head. There is a powerful motivating factor behind this. And that's the big mystery at the moment. Can we figure out why did they do this? You know, that's a big question. And we'll talk more about that when we return. Okay. We're going to take a break here, Larry. Or excuse me, Roger. I don't know why I got somebody else to send an email to on my mind. Take a break. Commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis here with Roger Sales on Financial Survival. Brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. 1-800-375-4188. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Roger Sales on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. If you're interested in buying gold, we are at or very near what is probably going to be the bottom price for gold for, who knows, several years into the future. Hard to say what's going to happen here exactly, but this is certainly a great buying opportunity. If you want to take advantage of it, give Melody Cedarstrom a call, 1-800-375-4188. Roger, we've got a caller, Larry. That's where I got the word. That's where I got the name Larry in my mind. Larry's calling in from Nebraska. Let's see what Larry's got to say.
All right.
All right. Now we are breaking up.
How about now? Larry? Are you still there?
Yeah, we're here, Larry.
Hello. Okay,
yeah.
I got a question. I have a question for both of you guys, and it's going to take more than a little bit of a time to answer it. But is there any way I can get a hold of either one of you by phone? Or I sent you both emails last week, and both of them didn't go through. I don't know what I was doing. But
well, I don't know. You can get a hold of me on Skype. Do you have Skype?
You know, I'm new to the computer, so I don't know if I do or not.
If you don't know, you don't have it right now, but it's free. If you have a headset and microphone and so on, it's free. It doesn't cost anything to get Skype. I can talk to you on Skype. If you want to leave your email address with the producer, we'll send you something after we get done with the program. I'll see that Roger and I both get a copy of your email address, and I will at least respond with email. And Roger, what are you going to do?
I'll respond too, Al. You know, if it's a question, and it depends on what the questions are. If it has to do with any of the stuff that I've written my book about, I try and encourage people to buy the book and read it at least twice before they ask me any of those questions. But there's information out there on the web. There's broadcasts on my website you can download from when we covered a lot of the material in more detail. So you just get an email to Al, and he'll get it to me, and we'll see how we do, Larry.
Okay. John Benson took – he and I went on a case of mine, went to the Nebraska Supreme Court on a traveling issue, and it was a non-resident thing back in the early 90s. Anyway, so I understand most of it, but anyway, if I could leave my number or email address with Frank, and I would really appreciate more of a contact with you guys.
No problem. If you were one of John's students or associates, I'll be more than happy to answer any questions or put you in touch with John, Larry.
Pardon?
I can put you in touch with John, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's been – I went to – he was in Aurora, Colorado when he helped me out.
All right, but
anyway.
We can work that out. We can work that out later on. This isn't interesting for the people to figure out whether we're going to talk to John by email or by smoke signals. We're going to have to work that out after the program. Leave your email address, and we'll get back to you.
Thanks, Larry.
All right, Larry, thank you. I've got an article here from George, references George Soros, and he is saying that gold is safe haven no more, but seeks Citibank support report institution. Oh, this is a little bit mumbled, but it's from Reuters. In any case, Soros said gold has been destroyed as a safe haven asset, but expects continued central bank buying to support prices. This is in the South China Morning Post, and then as reported by Reuters. Do you think gold has been destroyed as a safe haven asset, or do you think Soros is flipping out, or is he just intentionally lying, or what do you think about that?
So I think Soros is playing his role as a chameleon. You know, I was watching a video clip on another site a couple of weeks ago, and they were talking about gold going down. It was the topic. And after they got finished interviewing the guest, then one of the, you know, little cleavage babes came on, and she said, Soros sold 50% of his GLD. Now, to the average listener out there, Soros sold 50% of his gold. He sold 50% of his paper gold. And he probably took that money and went back and bought physical. Instead, you're still living in a dream world.
Ask him how many, he may have sold 50% of his paper gold, but how much of his physical gold did he sell?
Yeah, well, they weren't privy in you to that information.
Yeah, I understand.
I was going to say, before we hit the break a minute ago, that what this looks like to me, Al, you know, they in one of the spots on that spot break, it mentioned it, is that traditionally, as the empire is imploding, the last act is a plunder. And that certainly looks like what's going on to me.
Yeah, I get that, but I'll tell you, it was a great surprise to me. I fully expected the government to plunder pension funds and to plunder savings accounts. They didn't exactly plunder gold. They just reduced its price. It's not as if they were able to capitalize on this. They sold 500 tons of paper gold. I'm not sure that 500 tons of real gold is moved. I'm not sure that they bought more gold. I'm sure they're working at it, but I don't know how much they've got. They diminished the value of the gold we hold, but what have they really done exactly? Some of this is still confusing, and what are they trying to do?
I'm not sure that they really diminished the value of the gold that you hold, because they're pumping out 85 billion Federal Reserve notes a month.
Well, I get that.
To buy back the bond.
But if you have to sell
that price, if you had to sell it, you know, it depends on, you know, how you got in.
Right. But what I'm saying is, if you are in a position where you have to sell your physical gold at this point in time for whatever investments you've committed to, or to make ends meet and put groceries on the table, if you have to sell gold right now, this is a robbery. If you don't have to sell, then you just have to be patient and sit back and wait a while and see how long it takes for gold to get back on track.
Well, you know, like any of the other people that really know this whole business and metals and the economics and all of these differentials, is you don't buy gold to make money. You buy gold to preserve purchasing power. If you're lucky, you'll be able to make a little bit of money. And the people that roll into this situation we're going into, where you're going to have a true supply and demand curve in that metal, for probably the first time in many, many, many years, you're going to see some incredible escalations in price, A, and you're going to see some unbelievable escalations in premiums, B, and that's already happening. Evidently, the silver premiums have already tripled for the people that are taking orders or do have inventory.
I understand. When you say there's no profit in gold, I basically disagree with that for this reason. I know that its fundamental business is to preserve wealth, but I believe there is a profit potential in gold, and I think it's significant because the price of gold has been artificially suppressed for the past 15, 20 years. And that artificial suppression creates a profit, essentially a profit potential in gold. And what I'm getting to is, if the real price of physical gold right now, if there were a pure gold market, physical gold, if the real price was, let's say, $3,500 an ounce, then in fact there's a $2,000 an ounce price built in to an ounce of gold today that may be selling for, in terms of $1,300, $1,400. There's $2,000 of potential waiting on the day when we get an honest price in gold and the suppression ends. Do you understand what I'm saying, Roger?
Sure, of course. And, you know, many people like John Williams with Shadow Stats and those people that do accurate statistics, and they'll go back and tell you that the price of gold, even here 6 months or a year ago, if it was put up against the inflation rate all the way back to 79 and 80, that it should be around $2,500 an ounce. And I agree with you that there's money-making potential there, but I don't know necessarily, at least for me, that that's the reason that I wanted to get into it. I think you always have the hope that that's going to happen. And what to me is happening, Al, is that for the last 20 years that we've been controlled in a scheme where they were leasing this stuff in the market to give the appearance of abundance and to keep the price down while they could blow all these bubbles and pull this housing stuff off. But at some point, and that looks like where we're at right now, is there's a disconnect between this paper market and this physical market, and you're going to start going back now to a true Adam Smith supply and demand curve. That's where you're going to see some money made by the people that had the foresight to get into this early. And when I'm saying early, you know, as I've said here on before, I was buying most of my gold that I own today back at Brown's Bottom when Gordon Brown was selling England's at, I don't remember, $257 an ounce or something. And it was in that time frame that I bought most of mine. So I don't care if it loses $200. It doesn't mean one flipping thing to me.
It doesn't mean anything to me either, to tell you the truth. But as I said yesterday, it galls me considerably to think that I've lost $200 an ounce on what gold I have. I don't have a fortune, and I'm not a rich man. But I've lost $200 an ounce based on criminal acts that are that are approved by the government of the United States. I've been defrauded out of $200 an ounce on my gold, all right, by a bunch of smart SOBs who are nothing but criminals who are nevertheless sanctioned by government to rob people. That makes me mad.
It's more serious than being approved. It was probably initiated by them.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. That's exactly right. It's not just a random thing where they said, hey, we'd like to rob the people. Somebody went up there and said, we want you to rob the people. Go out there and rob them. And they said, okay, what the heck?
You know, it isn't enough that they rob you through inflation, that they're going to steal your 401ks and your pensions and the things that you put up for working your whole life, and that they steal your darn house with all this paperwork shuffle fraud and everything else. I'll tell you what, these guys better win, okay? Because if they don't, they're going to have some serious problems on their
They're going to have neck problems. That's what they're going to have. They're going to have a crook in their neck that's going to be...
And there's no chiropractor that's going to fix the ailments they're going to have.
Well, they're going to need if there's a chiropractor around, that he's going to be a very special chiropractor. They may be getting their necks rubbed in a place they don't want to go to. But in any case, you're right. This is an extraordinary war, and it's being waged right now. And how, you know, where's it going and who's going to win, who's going to lose remains to be seen, but we are living in that kind of environment right now. We watch motion pictures. We watch motion pictures about these kinds of struggles, huh? And most of us, they're interesting, and we think we'll play young hero. And when the struggle comes, we would play young hero. But when it actually shows up, a lot of people want to sit at the sidelines and just hunker down and not do anything. They don't really want to dive into the struggle.
You and I are both very spiritually oriented because of our path the last 20 and 30 years, respectively. And the one thing that in all of those, that one of John's associates called in there, Larry, one of the things in all of those training sessions, those long weekend 30, 35-hour intense legal training sessions that were mostly way over my head, they talked about and I've lost my thought here. But it's very important because this is a time, and this is what I was going to say, Al, is you and I are both very spiritually oriented with this. And I remember in those early sessions that after that whole weekend of all the UCC and everything else, we'd cover Supreme Court cases, and we'd go back to the Bible, and we'd go back to Revelation 18. And it says, Babylon, O Babylon the Great, has fallen in an hour.
Yeah, I understand.
And the merchants of the earth wail, so they can no longer sell their what a gold, silver, ivory, cinnamon, spices, etc. And the very last entry on that 21-22 item list is bodies and souls of men. So they can't sell you if they don't own you, by the way.
I follow.
My attention is drawn to the start of that, where it says, Babylon, O Babylon the Great, has fallen in an hour. And that's just something that has always been extremely provocative to me, Al. And as we reach what appears to be some sort of a ramp here in the events of modern day, it's very feasible with everything tied together and computerized that literally it could go down in an hour.
Well, it could not have gone down in an hour, except by means there had to be a digital world before it was possible for the whole thing to collapse in an hour or even a day. 100 years ago, if there was a collapse in China, we might not find out for it. We might not find out about it for several months. And the same thing if there was a collapse in Great Britain. Or so, how long would it take to affect people who are raising corn out in the middle of Iowa? It might never affect them. But today, we've got that global internet network, and it makes it possible for a collapse to take place in an hour or, you know, some comparatively small amount of time. I've got an article here. Roger, get your take on it. The headline is, this is ultimately from the French press, global military spending dips for the first time since 1998. The world spent less on weapons and military services in 2012 than the year before. The first annual drop since 1998, a Swedish think tank said on Monday. What do you think of that?
Well, I think it's good news.
What do you think it indicates?
Of economic pressures.
Yeah, I'd say so, too. I think it's a sign that the world is increasingly impoverished. When the governments of the world are spending less on military than they have in the past, I mean, that's the crown jewel of conspicuous consumption. And if they are actually cutting back on military, at least on a global basis, it's evidence that the global economy has it's starting to contract, or maybe not even starting, but the contraction has become significant enough where they just say, hey, we can't afford as many tanks.
It's another one of the death of a thousand cuts for the U.S. Yeah. Because that's their biggest exports, the military-industrial complex.
I understand that. I understand. We've got another one here from, here's one. Now, this is an article that came out from Combustible, which is a conservative action blog. Metal or paper, more states promote bullion. Combustible.com has previously noted that Utah, Virginia, and Arizona were pushing constitutional money within their respective state borders, the Commonwealth not succeeding. See here, there's an update, and they go, Arizona is perhaps poised to follow Utah, which authorized gold bullion for currency. Point I'm trying to make, here we have gold is down $200 or thereabouts in a couple of days. And yet we have states that are trying to reinstate gold and silver as acceptable currency within their states. Are the states foolish, or does the state move to embrace gold and silver indicate that the fall in silver, fall in gold is irrational? What are we doing? We have a break here, and I'm not paying attention to the clock, folks. Oh, my gosh, I'm getting my wrist slapped for that one. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Roger Sales on Financial Survival. Be right back. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku-band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here on Financial Survival with Roger Sales, calling in from Argentina, talking about gold and so on. Here's, again, before we took the break, I was asking you what you thought the significance was, if any, of a growing number of states moving to incorporate gold and silver as legal tender within their borders.
Several things. I think for one thing, it illustrates the growing awareness out there. And obviously some of those states are probably responding not only to aware representatives, but to the aware constituencies. And I think it certainly, I can't tell you exactly how economically, but it certainly would serve their best interests. But the most important thing, I think, is people are waking up to the scam.
Yeah, I know. I wonder,
it's got to have these guys absolutely terrified.
I think that's desperation
from them, yeah. Honestly.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking also. How close the end is near, but how near? 60 days,
like said,
6 years, how long to the end?
You don't know if this is the beginning of the end or the end of the beginning, you know?
I understand. What else do we have, Roger? Something you want to interject today? Something that's moving you?
This whole thing is moving me, Al. I can't hardly seem to stay away from the computer because every day, all day long, it's just breaking news and different insights from different people that have different you know, viewpoints of the things that are happening, and you try and soak it all in, because I think we all want to be as safe and as protected as possible. And the only way that you can stay in front of these sneaky mothers is with knowledge and understanding and information. And I think all of us want to stay as much in front of the wall of molasses as we can get, you know.
I understand. I've got another one here for us that's off the gold issue, but this is from WorldNet Daily. Military warned evangelicals' number one threat. Soldiers in the U.S. military have been told in a training briefing that evangelical Christians are the number one extremist threat to America, ahead of groups like Muslim Brotherhood, the Ku Klux Klan, Nation of Islam, Al-Qaeda, Hamas, and others. What do you think about that?
I guess the truth finally comes out, doesn't it? The monster finally takes his mask off, because I don't believe this is for any of us that have been in the know and studied and had understanding of this, knew this was coming years ago.
Well, then, and on one level, they are correct. The evangelicals, that is to say, people who truly believe in the God of the Bible and are willing to stand up for their faith. It's not just people that are going around knocking on doors and handing out pamphlets, although I don't have any complaint about that. I'm not being critical or complaining. I'm just saying that by pointing out that Christian evangelicals are the number one extremist threat, they are the number one extremist threat to the government of the United States. And that's because the government of the United States has become a wicked entity. It is not working for the best interests of the American people. It's working contrary to their interests. And these interests go to a spiritual foundation that on which this country was built. Now, we talk about on a pretty regular basis about me being sued for $25,000 a day based on the presumption that I'm an animal by the Attorney General of the state of Texas. It is a spiritual battle. It's not just a little technical misunderstanding or science or a debate about science. Are you or are you not made in God's image? If you are, then you're given dominion over the animals. You can't be an animal and be a Christian or a Jew, for example. The Old Testament says, look, we're made in God's image. That's and we are given dominion over the animals, and the government saying, no, we are all pack of animals. This is consistent with this report that evangelicals have been declared to be the number one threat, more so than Muslims, Ku Klux Klan, Nation of Islam, Al-Qaeda, Hamas, and others. The government is correctly perceiving us to be their adversaries, just as we are perceiving them, surprise, surprise, to be our adversaries.
You know, it's like that verse in Revelation that we alluded to a few minutes ago, or the very last thing it says there, and bodies and souls of men, and they can't buy and sell you unless they own you, just like an animal, all the way back to the Babylonian Code there in the historical jurisprudence book, where it quoted, showed you exact contracts and everything that was going on in the Babylonian Code 4,000 and 5,000 years ago, Al, where they would allow a man to enter into a contract for a year with his master, where he was essentially in the condition of a slave and was considered to be his cattle. So this isn't any kind of a new idea. It's been around for a long time. I've come to the conclusion that this is their power base. And when you understand it much better and you realize that it's just almost 2 + 2 = 4, that they brought this system in, this feudal system, with the 14th Amendment, to be able to be property to fund as collateral for the bonds. The entire financial world system is on your backs under this little trick on this foreign jurisdiction that's come in, and this little Babylonian trick that they've been playing with for 4,000 or 5,000 years. So all of this, you're exactly correct. All of this is incredibly spiritual. And look, I think I speak for you too. I wasn't the most spiritual guy that ever came down the block before I got into this stuff. Okay. And most of the people that have arrived at this conclusion that you and I have mutually were in the same condition. I mean, you know, I was in the record business, big time record business, for 10 years, man. There wasn't very much that I hadn't done. Okay.
I understand. I didn't come to this. I wasn't raised to be a holy roller, per se. I went to church as a child and the rest of that, but I don't know. I went to church. I watched football games. You know, it was just something you did. You don't really begin to get this until late in life, and perhaps, at least I didn't, And that was after some considerable turmoil in my life, and I began, not because I chose to become spiritual per se, because to me it seemed as if the good Lord reached out and grabbed me, you know, by the collar and said, "Get over here, Sonny." All right? And
you know,
it takes a little bit. You kick it and scream. What are you doing? Get your hand off me! Don't pull me around. Good Lord wants it. You're going to get fooled around.
When you're younger and you get in tight spots, and you know you fall back onto religion, and nothing else has worked, and you're in pain, and you know what I used to do is I was going through my the only divorce I hope I'll ever go through. And you go, "Well, you know, Lord, look, I want to talk to you, and I need some relief here, but I need just for you to show me that you're real, you know. Walk out the door if you light one of those bushes out beside the door, they're on fire or something, so I know you're around, see." And here, 20-something years later, he shows me that he's real, and he shows me he's real in this information. But he doesn't burn a bush in front of me, but he shows the whole world burning down in front of you and how it's been done.
I understand. We had Frank had a question, our producer. He had a question about Venezuela, and he was wondering if there's been some riots in Venezuela lately, at least according to Frank, and he was wondering if that's had any, if it's been noticed by Argentina, if it's had any impact on Argentina. And who does the government of Argentina support, if anyone, in this in Argentina?
Well,
or excuse me.
I can go over a bit of that with you. You know, Presidente Cristina Kirchner, our Presidente, had a pretty tight relationship with Hugo Chavez. And one of the reasons that the people up there that run the world hate Chavez so much is because he was very anti them with his big pool of oil down there, and started a central bank to rival the World Bank called the Bank of the South. And he was actually funneling a lot of money to Argentina from their oil profits up there, and I'm sure to other states too. I don't know. I can't answer Frank's question about hearing a lot about it because I don't really watch the Spanish news and stuff because I'm so tuned into what's going on in my own country. I know that, Chavez had a very good relationship with a lot of leaders down here. Obviously, yeah. They're trying to run that Capriles, I believe is this guy's name. He's a totally establishment CIA-backed, and their election was evidently close enough where they're claiming they want a recount, and they're going to try and use social unrest to go in and overthrow the results of the election. So it's pretty darn obvious that the powers that run the world do not want anybody that isn't friendly to their agenda sitting on that pool of oil sitting over there.
That.
And they don't want Venezuela trading that oil for Chinese renminbi.
I understand, but what do you think they'll succeed? Do you think they'll succeed?
Man, I hope not, you know, because
yeah, I
thought Chavez, from some of the things I've seen, that Chavez truly did a lot for his people. And there's going to be corruption in government anywhere because you're talking about men, and man's heart is black and no man shall know it. But I think that he, you know, on a documentary I saw, was the documentary of the year in 2010, and I can't remember the guy that did it, but it was very well done. And they were going into some of the barrios there in Caracas and talking to the lady, and she was saying, "Well, you know, I never learned how to read or write. I'm 90 years old." And he started having little sessions in schools for these people all through those barrios where they teach them to read and write. They went to the store, and on the back of the rice package they buy rice was a couple of the amendments in their constitution. They've never had that stuff in front of them before. So you can't tell me that guy's bad, okay?
No, I understand. And you can't tell me, and no one can tell me, that just because something involves our government that it's necessarily good. Our government is not necessarily you got to stand up for the United States. The government of the United States is not necessarily the good guys anymore. I don't know when the last time was that they were truly or predominantly the good guys, but it does not appear to be the case today. So you have the opportunity to make difficult choices.
Ayatollah Khomeini knew what he was talking about when he called these jokers the great Satan. You know, I used to get so mad because I wasn't woken up then when that whole Afghanistan thing happened back in 79 and 80. And I'd get so mad when they'd put him on the television and he'd say something about the great Satan. Go, don't you know that we help people all over the world? Well, I didn't have any comprehension of what the heck's going on out there.
Well, in theory, we still do, the government still does some good deeds, but they are increasingly hard to find. I've become, just after you watch long enough, you become skeptical, you become cynical, you begin to suspect that no matter what the government's doing, when was the last time government was doing something that was really for the benefit of the vast majority of the American people? Do we know of any? Can anybody tell me when that happened? Even when they tell you, like Obamacare, oh, this is going to be great for your health care. Bunk. It's not going to be great. It's going to be disabling. It's going to be debilitating. It's going to cause people to die younger than they might otherwise have died. Where do we really see good deeds enacted by our government that don't have an ulterior motive that is, in fact, contrary to our best interests? And I don't have an answer for that question because I've just got to a point where I don't believe it. I don't care what they tell me. And tell me the sky is
blue.
One thing, I
wouldn't call them our government because it's pretty obvious that they got no idea about governing us except putting us into the pen over there to the slaughter chute.
Okay? No, I understand. They've been, again, in that Man or Other Animals case I was involved in, the evidence, once we got into it, did the research, the government has treated us as animals in law, at least with regard to medical, or excuse me, to drugs. That goes back to 1906, earliest instance we found. For a century, they've argued that we are nothing but animals. This is not a misunderstanding. This is evidence of a government that is spiritually wicked. Yeah? So, what do we got left, Roger? About a little over a minute. Would you like to make a pitch for...
Shameless self-promotion here. If anybody would like to find out about my book or my teacher's book, you can find out about both of them, where to buy them, what discounts are available, etc., at thebookshelf.us, exactly like it sounds, thebookshelf.us. If you'd like to read some more about my book and the contents and the ideas and concepts behind it, you can go to, I'll say it and then spell it, www.serfs-up.com. That's www.serfs-up.com. And if you'd like to find out the little income tax system you're all embroiled in, or at least some of you, you can go to know1040tax.com. And as Larry that called earlier, that's John Vincent's tax books on the origins of the tax system, which is the same one the king used to collect the taxes in England for 500 years. Imagine that, Al.
I can understand. You know, the only thing that'll ever be new under the sun, Roger, what'll it be? It'll be people learning from the past. People actually reading enough to understand a little history that is almost unprecedented. We delight in our ignorance, and as a result, we pay a price for it. I'm Alfred Addisk. We're out of time. This is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. Thank you all for listening, and I'll be back with Melody tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Roger, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.